I can swing my arms around. Yes. Well, how y'all doing? Doing okay? It is so good to see you. It really is. What an awesome day to be in God's house. So this is going to be our regular schedule now. 9 o'clock and 10:45. We'll be doing two services through the fall here, and I'm excited. Being outside was wonderful, and it served us well. But I'm excited about this fall being back together in the church building. Hebrews chapter 10 says this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Everybody say encourage. Encouraging one another. "And all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, if I had to sum up those three verses in just a few words, I would say this: we are better together. Come on. We are better together. Listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do know this: the devil has had a conspiracy against the church for the last 2,000 years. And he will do anything in his power to try to discourage us. And churches right now, they're so discouraged, so divided. Churches are divided over politics, they're divided over masks. People are angry at their pastor, pastors are angry at the people. People are so discouraged, they're not coming to church. Pastors actually are dropping like flies, and the devil is just rejoicing over all that. So I say, church, let's just say this: not here, devil. Come on, say it together. Not here, devil, right? Yeah. The church family, guys, is God's gift to us, right? And there's a lot of things that we can do, solo as Christians. We can worship the Lord, and we should, when we're all alone. Right? We should sing songs of praise to the Lord when we're alone. We should play good worship music when we're driving down the road. We can worship alone, but there is a powerful dynamic that takes place when we come together and we worship together. Right? And we can pray alone. And Jesus talked about going to our closet of prayer. We should pray alone, but Jesus also said that there is authority when we come together in agreement prayer. There's authority in his name that has great power. So there are a lot of things that we can do solo as Christians, but many of the things that being a Christ follower means are things that we do together. So we experience the presence of God together, right? We receive encouragement from one another when we're together fellowshipping. We learn to serve together. We learn when we're together to forgive, to talk things through, right? To reason with one another and to move on. That's what we do as believers. And we work together in advancing the kingdom of God. So let's all say this together: we are better together. Yeah. So if you feel disconnected from church right now, first of all, you're not alone. A lot of people feel very disconnected. But I want to encourage you with this. If you feel disconnected, reconnect. Right? Reconnect. Come back to church. Join a life group. Call someone. Have coffee. Reach out to somebody. Find a place to serve in a ministry again. We need people in children's ministries and virtually every ministry in the church. We need you to plug in again. All right? So we're better together, church. We're better together. All right. Turn with me in your Bible. That wasn't the sermon. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 5. You get a bonus today. That was the bonus message. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. This is one of the just great, great stories in the gospel of Jesus' power and his compassion. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. I remember the first time that I ever heard anything about leprosy, ever heard that word, was I was watching a movie on television with my parents. It was called Ben-Hur. Anybody remember that movie? Yeah. So there's two great things I remember about the Ben-Hur movie. First of all, it's the greatest chariot race of all time. And secondly, there's this scene where Ben-Hur's mother and sister had been, you know, falsely accused and thrown into prison. And they spent years in this dungeon, and Ben-Hur is trying to get to them. He finally does. They're coming out of this dungeon. They're kind of in the shadows, and then they walk out of the shadows, and both of them, their faces are covered with leprosy. And I mean, I couldn't sleep that night. I had to ask my, what is that? What is it? And they explained to me a little bit about what leprosy was. And then for the next 3 days, I'm asking questions like, well, do people still get that? Can I get that? And I'm asking all these questions as a kid. And it so impressed me. And the reality is, especially in the time of Jesus, leprosy was one of the worst things that could ever happen to a person. And it was terrible. And for me, one of the most striking things about this story is that this suffering man comes to Jesus, and Jesus not only heals him, Jesus intentionally reaches out his hand and he touches the man. Now listen, Jesus didn't have to touch people to heal them. There are many occasions in the Gospels where Jesus just spoke the word and healed people. There's even times in the Gospels where the person wasn't even present. Jesus spoke healing over a person that was miles away, and right when Jesus spoke the healing, that person was healed. So Jesus didn't need to touch them. He didn't even need to be around them to heal them. So there must be a reason that in this case, Jesus reaches out his hand to physically touch this man. You see, in Jesus' day, leprosy was not only incurable, but it was highly infectious. Lepers were the untouchables. They were the castaways. Not only because the danger of contracting leprosy, but also anybody that touched a leper, came in contact with a leper, would be considered ceremonially unclean from that point on. So consequently, lepers were loners. Not by their own choice, but they were expected to live in isolation. So they would typically build themselves a shelter outside of town. They weren't allowed to travel through town. They would build themselves a shelter outside of town, and if they had a loving, caring family, the family would provide for them by having a drop-off point where they would bring food to and leave it there for their loved one. And everyone in the area would know all the people who had leprosy, and they would know to stay away from them at all costs. And from what it looks like here, this man has had leprosy for a long, long time because it's very advanced. The Bible says that he is covered with leprosy, right? So it's probably been many, many years that he's been suffering. And also this means that it's very likely that it's been many, many years since this man has felt the touch of another human being. The warmth of an embrace, a hug, a kiss, a pat on the shoulder, or even a handshake. And then add to that the emotional isolation. Because we tend to, when we feel rejected by others, we tend to put up the wall and we reject them. So you can just imagine this guy saying, fine, you don't want to be around me. I don't want you to be around me either. Right? You don't like me, I don't like you. So you can just imagine the potential for rejection and bitterness and anger and those walls to just go up. So on top of this already terrible physical condition, the physical suffering, There's all of this huge amount of emotional baggage and suffering and pain. Not all of the scars of a person's life can be seen, right? In fact, the deepest scars often are those scars that can't be seen. But then, along comes Jesus, right? Along comes Jesus and everything changes. You see, really, when you think about it, this leper, he's a picture of every single one of us. You say, Tim, what are you talking about? I've never had leprosy. I mean, I had a really bad rash once, but nothing that even comes close to leprosy. What are you talking about? Well, every single one of us, we have had a disease of the soul that is called sin. And whether you choose to believe it or not, sin is leprosy to the soul, and it is worse than leprosy of the body. Sin separates us from God. It isolates us. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. And so every one of us, we have been covered with this spiritual leprosy called sin. But just as Jesus didn't allow leprosy to keep him from touching this man, Jesus, praise be to the Lord, didn't allow our spiritual leprosy to keep him from stepping into our lives and touching us. Amen? And when Jesus spoke forgiveness over our lives, we were made completely whole and clean. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. So when Jesus reaches out to touch this man's life, he's not only bringing physical healing, he's bringing emotional and spiritual and relational healing to this man. Now I want you to notice how this man approaches Jesus. He comes, he throws himself at Jesus' feet. Notice his words. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. This man had no doubt as to Jesus' ability and his power. He knew Jesus could do it. He just wasn't sure if Jesus would do it. Lord, if you are willing. And then I love Jesus' response. Notice that Jesus didn't ask this man if he was rich or poor. He didn't ask this man if he was educated or uneducated. He didn't ask him if he was religious or not religious. He didn't even ask him who he voted for in the last election. Jesus didn't even ask this man if he was trying to be a good person. Jesus' response, he says, I am willing. And be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. You see, all the doors had been closed in this man's life until Jesus came along. Religion has a tendency to close the door in people's faces. Religion has a tendency to say, you're not welcome, you're not wanted. But Jesus throws those doors wide open. Amen? So I've got a proposal, church, for us all today. Let's be more like Jesus. Come on. Let's just be more like him. And let's open the doors because people are hurting. You know, you don't have to have leprosy to feel isolated. Boy, if there is a word that could describe how people are feeling right now, it's isolation. They feel separated, they feel alone, lonely, isolated. And church, it's time to be the church and rise up and declare, you're not alone. There's a God in heaven who loves you and cares about you. And there's a church up here on the hill that loves you and cares about you. And the doors are wide open. Right? Let's do what Jesus did. Treat people like Jesus treated them. So I want to give you three things from this story this morning as we kind of get ready to land the plane here. The first one is this. Choose rejoicing over regretting. Choose rejoicing over regretting. This guy could have, at this point, chosen to live a life of regret. Instead of focusing on the healing, he could focus on all of those years of being a leper. And he could spend the rest of his life, man, I lost so many years. I was so sick. Everybody abandoned me. My life was so awful. He could spend the rest of his life focusing on regret and everything that was lost. And so, church, when Jesus comes into our lives, we have a choice to make. We can choose to live in regret and everything that could have been different, everything I should have done different, how people should have treated me differently, how this shouldn't have happened, how that shouldn't happen. We can live in regret, or we can choose to rejoice in what Jesus has done and is doing and is going to do in our lives. Amen. Choose rejoicing over regret, right? Believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, that there is a future that God has ordained for you, and the devil himself can't take it from you. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. Everybody say, forget it. Yeah, just forget it. Amen. How many of you are ready for 2020 to be over? 2021, get here fast. In fact, I'm just going to make a declaration this morning. I'm just going to say, I know usually we change the year January 1. But I'm going to make a declaration today. I'm just going to say, as of October 1st, it is 2021. Amen? I mean, our politicians make all kind of just declarations. I'm going to start, you know? I'm just going to say it's 2021. We're just going to go with that. Yes. And we can choose to live in the past, guys. We can choose to live in regret. Or we can choose to take hold of those things that God has for us and we can rejoice in those things. Come on. Yeah. Choose rejoicing over regretting. Number two, and this I know sounds cliche-ish, but it fits this message so good, and that is this. Turn your test into a testimony. Turn your test into a testimony. Those things that Jesus has brought you through, you use those as a springboard to talk to people about Jesus. You know, people can argue religion and they can be very good at it, but one thing people can never argue with you about is your testimony. They can never argue with you about what Jesus has done in your life and how he has changed your story. Right? So don't argue religion with people. You just tell people what Jesus has done for you, how he's changed your life, right? Tell people your testimony. Yeah. You've been through some stuff, some tough stuff, some hard stuff, but Jesus was there all along, and he's getting you through it. Amen? Yeah. Turn that test into a testimony and glorify Jesus with your words and with your life. Glorify the Lord. Turn your test into a testimony. And then number three, be the hand of Jesus to a leper. Okay? Not a literal leper. You're probably not going to, you might meet a leper, but probably not. Be the hand of Jesus. In other words, reach out and touch somebody whose life needs to be touched right now. They're alone. They're isolated. They're fearful. Church, let's rise up in the name of Jesus. Amen? Rise up in the name of Jesus and bring the touch of Jesus to our lost and hurting world. Let's bring his love and his healing and his power and his life. Let's be the body of Christ, the hands and the heart of Jesus. Right? Reach out to the untouchable. Reach out to the person that's been rejected. That's what Jesus would do, right? That's what Jesus would do. Be the hands and the heart of Jesus. Church, it's time to get back to being the church. All right? And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because there was never a time we should stop being the church. But I feel like this is a season for us to make a decision. We're getting back to being the church. Right? We're getting back to being the church that Jesus wants us to be. So whatever that looks like for you, whatever that looks like for our church, let's go for it in the power and the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be the hand of Jesus to a leper, okay? So choose rejoicing over regretting, turn your test into a testimony, and be the hand of Jesus to somebody. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Worship team, come on up. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands up to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up to Jesus. Lord, here I am. I need you, God. I need you. I need you, Lord. God, I don't want to live in regret. I want to live in rejoicing in you. I don't want to live in the past. I want to trust you with my future, God. Church, God has better days for you. He does. I believe that with all my heart. That's not a slogan for me. I know it's true. God is always moving us forward, not taking us back. He's always moving us forward. The days ahead for you are better than the days that are behind you. Absolutely. Take a hold of that. Choose rejoicing over regretting. Amen. Turn your test into a testimony. Yeah. Tell your story. Tell your story. The world needs to know. The world needs to know what Jesus has done in your life. Hallelujah. And reach out to the untouchable, those that have been rejected, those that feel like they're on the outside, that feel like they're all alone and no one cares. They're listening to the lies of the enemy. But we know better than that. We know that they are loved by God. That there is a God in heaven that sees them and cares about them. So Lord, use us. Use us, God, to make a difference in somebody's life. Hallelujah. Even this week, Lord, show me somebody that needs your love. Show me somebody that needs your grace, Lord. Show me somebody that feels alone and isolated, and they feel so broken, they feel so hopeless. Show me somebody, Lord, that I can share your love and your grace with. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise, all the glory. Hallelujah.